ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
The judgment of the people of Shechem is coming next. Look at verse 42 here in Judges 9. And it came to pass on the next day that the people went out into the field, and they told Abimelech. So he took his people, divided them into three companies, and laid in wait in the field. And he looked, and there were the people coming out of the city, and he rose against them and attacked them. Then Abimelech and the company that was with him rushed forward and stood at the entrance of the gate of the city. And the other two companies rushed upon all who were in the fields and killed them. So Abimelech fought against the city all that day. He took the city and killed the people who were in it. And he demolished the city and sowed it with salt. Now when all the men of the tower of Shechem had heard that, they entered the stronghold of the temple of the god Berith. And it was told Abimelech that all the men of the tower of Shechem were gathered together. And then Abimelech went up to Mount Zalmon, he and all the people who were with him. And Abimelech took an axe in his hand and cut down a bow from the trees and took it and laid it on his shoulder. Then he said to the people who were with him, "What you have seen me do, make haste and do as I have done." So each of the people likewise cut down his own bow and followed Abimelech, put them against the stronghold, and set the stronghold on fire above them, so that all the people of the Tower of Shechem died, about 1,000 men and women. Remember that Gaal was the man that was against Abimelech, but now Abimelech, after defeating Gaal, turns against all of Shechem. These were his people. Now, the people of Shechem thought, well, you know, Gaal's defeated. We're at ease. We're going back and doing our daily activities. We're not even thinking about a judgment coming upon us. It's normal life. But it wasn't. And Abimelech destroys the people of Shechem and the land he sows salt on it. Why? So they can't plant for a period of time. They can't grow crops. And as word spread about what Abimelech was doing, he destroyed the city of Shechem and 1,000 men and women fled to the tower of the god they worshipped, the god Berith. What were they doing? They were seeking safety in their tower, safety in the god they served. And in the end, it wasn't a place of safety, was it? It was a place for their destruction. Abimelech and his men come and burn these people to death. And that's exactly what Jotham said would happen. If they refused to repent of their sin and get right with God, fire was going to destroy them. And they refuse to listen. And I wonder if the people of Shechem are thinking, you know, would it have been better to have the sons of Gideon rule over us than Abimelech? Now, here's the thing. I think the Tower of Shechem is still around today. And what I mean by that is this. The Tower of Shechem to us is anything or anyone that you run to for safety that is apart from the Lord. And in the end, it's not a place of safety at all. Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run to it and are safe. Psalm 61:3, for you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. If you want true safety, protection, you run to the Lord, into his arms, because he alone can save. He's the strong tower, the one who's going to protect us. And here's the thing that we all have to think about. Every single person in this world is going to live forever. I know that's shocking to some, but we will live forever. You just got to choose where you're going to live. That's the key. Are you going to spend eternity with the Lord, or are you going to spend eternity separated from him in the lake of fire? And that's a choice that everyone has to make. And if you don't choose, you've already made the choice. You've rejected Jesus. One writer put it like this. He said, "Have you ever been required to appear in court before a judge? Even if your only offense was a parking or speeding ticket, the courtroom experience can be very intimidating. Your wrong cannot be undone, and you must give an account for your actions and accept whatever consequences the judge decrees. There will come a day when every human being will be required to stand before the judge of the universe. At that point, there's no turning back, No chance to start over. We will each be held accountable by Almighty God for our actions in this life and choices in this life. You know, when the police and the other group of people, I don't even know how to designate them, came to the church that day to use our parking lot with their guns and everything, they were bringing judgment upon someone a couple doors down who was dealing heavy-duty drugs. This was a serious thing. These guys that were with the helmets and vests and guns didn't come from Manitowoc. I'm sure they came either from Milwaukee or maybe Green Bay to do this. But they were bringing judgment. Why? Because he did wrong. God is going to judge the people of this world. Why? Because they've done wrong. And the only solution is Jesus Christ. Repenting of our sins, asking him to be Lord and Savior of our life. Judgment is coming. The people here in Shechem rejected the true and living God. They refused to repent and get right with God, and they lost their lives because of it. And you can't escape this judgment. I don't know if you heard the story. It happened several years ago. This company, Rombi, based in Santa Clara, California, they make GPS tracking devices. And, you know, you take this box, activate it, and place it in shipment of, like, produce, fruit, or something other that's perishable. And you can follow the shipment and keep track of where it goes and how long it takes. Well, don't ask me why, but thieves who were probably like a few fruits short of a bushel here, decided to break into this company's office and grab a full box of these trackers. Well, co-founder of the company, Vita Subramanian, says that these devices kind of look like cell phone chargers. So they probably thought they had some kind of street value. I guess it makes sense. You know, phones don't last longer than a workday, so people are buying up battery boosters. The thieves also made a stop in the company break room on the way out. And they found a beer in the fridge, and they took that too. As an added bonus for police now, the thieves cut themselves during the robbery. There was blood and fingerprints all over the place. Yeah, just kind of a few fruits short of a full bushel. And so the company was able to track them with their own tracking devices. The police were led right to these thieves within a few hours of the robbery. Can we hide anything from God? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. All things are open and naked before him. And here's the thing. What are we putting our trust in? What are we running to? You know, even as Christians, we can get caught up. You know, oh, we got to get this, you know, president, or we got to do this, and we got to get that passed, and we got to. And the thing is, where are you looking to for your salvation? Is it going to be the Lord? It needs to be the Lord. There is no other Savior than Jesus. And God uses good kings and wicked kings for his purposes. Can we trust him? You see, no matter what happens, does it change what we need to do in this world? You know, is God in heaven going, wow, I didn't see that coming. I'm going to have to go to plan B. No. God knows exactly what's happening. We don't know everything that's going to happen. But we have a good idea because God has told us. He's warned us. And we'll talk about that in a little bit here. We're going to, you know, we looked at the judgment of the people of Shechem here and how these people lost their lives because they ran to the wrong God. We're going to finish up looking at the judgment of Abimelech, and really the judgment of Satan himself is what we're going to focus on. But look at here in Judges 9, starting in verse 50. Then Abimelech went to Thebes, and he encamped against Thebes and took it. But there was a strong tower in the city, and all the men and women, all the people of the city, fled there and shut themselves in. Then they went up to the top of the tower. So Abimelech came as far as the tower and fought against it, and they drew near the door of the tower to burn it with fire. But a certain woman dropped an upper millstone on Abimelech's head and crushed his skull. Then he called quickly to the young man, his armor bearer, and said to him, "Draw your sword and kill me, lest men say of me, 'A woman killed him.'" So that his young man thrust him through, and he died. And when the men of Israel saw that Abimelech was dead, they departed, every man to his own place. Thus God repaid the wickedness of Abimelech, which he had done to his father by killing his 70 brothers. And all the evil of the men of Shechem God returned on their own heads, and on them came the curse of Jotham, the son of Jerubbaal. You know, I'm sure at this point Abimelech thought he had things in control, that he was pretty tough, and he attacks Thebes, located about 10 miles northeast of Shechem, and he was going to do to them what he did to the people of Shechem. He's on a killing rampage, you know, maybe trying to show people that, hey, if you come against me, you're dead. But, you know, you kill all your people, you don't have no one to rule over. But, you know, that was Abimelech. I don't think he was thinking a whole lot. And he's trying to keep what he has already, which, you know, if you have to fight to maintain something like that, you're in trouble. So these people in Thebes hide themselves in this tower. And I'm sure Abimelech thought, hey, we burned the last one, we'll burn this one. This will work. And here's this woman, we don't even know her name, up on the tower, takes a millstone, throws it down, hits him in the head. Good shot? No, God shot. Now, millstones can weigh 100 pounds or more. I don't think she threw a 100-pound millstone because, you know, he'd be, you know, like Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote. Wile E. Coyote would be flat, right? So would Abimelech. This was probably somewhere around, oh, maybe 5 pounds or so. Well, 5 pounds from a tower is still pretty serious. And I don't think it hit him directly on the head, because if you get a 5-pound stone landing directly on your head from high up, you're gone too. But he was injured just enough to know he's not going to make it. And what's his big fear? Not his relationship with God. His big fear is, if I die like this, people will say, look, a woman killed this guy. So he tells his armor bearer, get your sword and kill me. And he does. Wow. This is what Jotham warned in Judges 9, verses 19 and 20. If then you have acted in truth and sincerity with Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and with his house this day, then rejoice in Abimelech, he's telling the people of Shechem. And let him also rejoice in you. But if not, let fire come from Abimelech and devour the men of Shechem and Beth Milo. And let fire come down from the men of Shechem and Beth Milo and devour Abimelech. And that's exactly what happened. You know, the lesson is we need to listen and obey the Lord's voice to us. His warning, because if we refuse, there is a terrible price to pay. And I think, like with the judgment of Abimelech, we can picture him as the judgment of the devil, of Satan, that's coming as well. You know, there is coming this judgment of God upon a Christ-rejecting world. And the world is going to turn to the Antichrist and worship him, a representative of Satan, and they're going to be judged. Job 21:30, for the wicked are reserved for the day of doom. They shall be brought out on the day of wrath. This isn't a might happen or could happen. This is going to happen. God is going to judge the wicked. And yes, we are all wicked. All of us are wicked. But once we come to Christ, Paul said that the righteousness of Christ is imputed into our lives by faith. When God looks at us, he sees the righteousness of Christ. Not that we're perfect or without sin, but that's how God looks at us. God's grace, since the last big judgment, maybe 4,500 years or so. And since that time, we see God provide for us what? A Savior. Jesus Christ has come to take away our sins. Why? So we can enjoy fellowship with God once again, because our sins have separated us from God. That is some amazing long-suffering on God's part when you look at the wickedness of man. But just as the long-suffering of God had reached its end point prior to the flood judgment, I think we're getting close to that today. I think you start looking at all that's going on, and you look back at what was taking place at the time of the flood, the wickedness of man, evil upon their hearts continually. That's kind of what we're seeing today. And how soon before the Lord returns? I don't know. Could it be today? Could it be 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 50 years? Could be. The thing that we're told is to always be ready. To always be ready. Paul was ready. When he wrote to the Thessalonians about the rapture of the church, he said, "And we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them." Did you notice he said we? He didn't say you guys down the road in almost 2,000 years when that happens. No, he believed that the rapture of the church, being caught up to be with the Lord, was going to happen in his day. And we should not think any less. We should be excited. You know, I don't know if you guys have been watching this stuff, but you look at the coming together of this one world government. It is amazing. You know, when I first got saved, prophecy was a huge thing in my life, man. That's probably my main focus at that point. But prophecy came a little bit here, there. There wasn't a lot of it. Every day. I mean, you see this desire from leaders around the world for this one world government. And if you look at Daniel chapter 2, the world is going to be divided up into 10 kingdoms. The Club of Rome divided up the world years ago, I think it was in the 1970s, into 10 kingdoms. The Club of Rome did this. This group of elite people divided the world into 10 kingdoms. Interestingly enough, you start looking at the free trade agreements and stuff. Do you realize our kingdom is composed of Canada, the United States, and Mexico? It's already there. I find that fascinating. With this whole coronavirus, when this first started, what did you hear? Leaders from around the world were saying, we need to have a one world government to contain the coronavirus. Isn't that, I don't know if anyone thought about it, but that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. How does that contain anything? It doesn't contain anything. But we will use crisis for our cause, to get this global government together. We see a push for socialism, especially in our country. Why? Because then the government will be in charge of your life from your birth until your death. They need it. I'll just share this synopsis from a book from Amazon. I thought it was very interesting. It's the Global Constitution, One World Government to Save the Earth. And this is what it said. It said, over the past several years and in the years to come, we will see more and more direct evidence that our political systems are fatally flawed. There are no controls for holding out for common sense solutions before installing only the most expensive and the least effective solutions to our problems. They bring out the worst of our kind and put the rascals into positions of authority over us all. And the biggest problem is that there is no way to correct for their malign behaviors. We are always forced to sit and watch from the sidelines as our country and our planet is degraded and slowly destroyed. The major problem is that the dictators in the world believe that their brains are the only ones capable and wise enough to solve the world's problems, when it is these singularly untrained minds which are the problem. They look at their citizens, the average men and women whom they never understand, as if we are ants. We are their cannon fodder. We are like sheep who need to be husbanded, fed and warehoused until such time as it's perceived by them that it's time for our slaughter. Over the centuries, their mass slaughter of us has been limited to a few cities and towns. Then in the last century, the mass slaughter expanded into hundreds of cities and dozens of nations being destroyed. The next major war will be brought into every living room on the planet. The next few decades, even assuming we are able to skip another major world war, will mean that we will all die from suffocation as all of the oxygen is sucked out of our atmosphere and gradually replaced by a huge black sooty cloud of carbon dioxide and carbon monoxide, which will spell disaster to all life forms on this earth. The silence will be deafening and last for millions of years. This is the world's first attempt to unify all the people of the earth under one set of laws and rules that could prevent total disaster. Doesn't that scare you? All the oxygen is going to be gone, sucked out of here. Give me a break, will you? I already know the end of the story. The oxygen's not going to be sucked out of here. The Lord's coming back. So don't worry about that. But look at what we're pushing for. We're getting people ready for it. Who are the, and I've told you this before, but again, the only two political world leaders that are against this global government are Benjamin Netanyahu of Israel and President Donald Trump. And what is happening in their countries? Their leadership, their people are coming against them to defame them and to remove them from office. Why? Because they're not part of this boys' club. They're not part of this global community. Donald Trump is not. He's a patriot. Benjamin Netanyahu is a patriot. He loves his country as Donald Trump loves our country. Are they perfect men? Absolutely not, because they're men. There are no perfect men. But they're not part of the globalist agenda. And it drives these leaders crazy right now. The Pope has called for a global government. And it shouldn't surprise us because the Pope is the one who ushers in this one world government, helps get the Antichrist in. And look, I believe he's going to be the head of the one world religion. And the United Nations understand this fully. They realize unless we have a one world religion, we can never get the people to come together. We need some leader to lead us, lead the religious people of the world. And that's really the Pope. Remember Jotham warned the people of Shechem and Abimelech, and they didn't listen. And judgment came upon them, just as the Lord said through Jotham. And I think the Bible has warned people over and over again that there's coming this judgment and people aren't listening. But we as Christians are to warn the people of this coming judgment and our loving Savior. They don't have to face it, this judgment. They can come to Christ. But Satan's going to be judged. The people of this world will be judged and eventually cast into the lake of fire. And think about it. We are kind of like the watchman on the wall, like Jotham, who was on the mountain, shouting to the people of the judgment if they don't get right with God. Isn't that what we are? Why are we being silenced today? Why are we afraid to share what we believe? It is the answer to life's problems. Because like I said, we're all going to live forever, but where do you want to live? With the Lord or apart from Him? Oh man, I don't want to be apart from him. I want to be with him. Let me close with this. We're told, unlike other countries that have a pay-as-you-use toll system on major roads, Switzerland expects drivers using its auto route system to pay an annual fee of 40 Swiss francs. When you pay, you get a windshield sticker you display for the rest of the year. Traditionally, traffic police give motorists the whole month of January to purchase the sticker. There's no penalty for driving without it during that month. It is a month of grace. But when the first days of February come, expect to see the traffic police on the auto route exit ramps checking for cars without the sticker. No more excuses are accepted. No more time is given. The grace period has ended. Wow. Isn't that true today? The grace period is coming to an end. Judgment is coming. And it's time for us as Christians to join together and take a stand for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Does he need us? No. God could have got the gospel message out using angels and probably would have been much more effective. He's chosen to use us to bring the gospel message. And even the angels scratch their head. They don't understand how God could love us because they know, they see us. They know what we're like. It's the grace of God is just difficult for them to understand. But the grace of God, like I said, is coming to an end. His judgment is at the door. Don't miss out on his amazing grace, right? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much. Lord, like we saw last week with the warning of Jotham, and how the people didn't listen, Abimelech didn't listen, and judgment came. We pray for our communities, we pray for our state, our nation, the people of this world. Father, help us to be like Jotham and warn the people of the coming judgment and of the loving Savior who wants to save them from that judgment. Give us a boldness like we never had before. We thank you so much for being our God. We thank you for your grace and mercy, your patience and long-suffering, Lord. And we grieve when we see some of the things that are going on in our nation right now. But Lord, don't let us lose focus on what you've called us to do. And that is to bring the good news of Jesus Christ to a nation, a world that has a lot of bad news. Thank you, Lord. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.